We're in a journey together through the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And these last 2 weeks, we've looked at two great chapters, which I believe are the centerpiece of the entire book, with two grand songs, chorales. Chapter 4, Song to God the Creator. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and who will be the Lord of time. And by thy will, all things were made. And everything that exists, exists by your decision. That's the first song. God the Creator. The doctrine of creation. The second song is in the fifth chapter. The scroll with its seven seals. Who can open the scroll? Make sense out of history. And the Lamb is able to. And so the song, the second song is sung. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And by his blood, we are redeemed, ransomed from every nation, from every tribe. This wonderful doctrine of redemption. In my view, all the rest of the book of Revelation are variations on these two grand songs. Now, what happens from chapter 6 through 22? As I see it, there are four symphonic movements. That's one way to understand the rest of this book. Four symphonic movements. We'll look at the first today. Each of these movements are filled with imagery that is baffling. It doesn't need to be interpreted, because the part that's clear in each of the four symphonic movements are the songs, just like we saw in chapter 4 and 5, that are sung at key moments in the symphonic part. So there are terrifying portraits that can't really be fully understood. It's probably best to use the lean rather than luxurious model of interpretation and stand back in wonder from some of these scenes and wonder and then hear the songs that are sung. Let me show you. Chapter 6 through 11, which we're going to look at now, is the first symphonic movement. It's comprised of two sets of sevens. Notice there were seven seals on the scroll. Now we're going to meet two sets of sevens. The first are seven seals that are opened. One by one, they're opened. The opening of these seals is terrifying. The first four, of course, are the most famous. The four horses of the apocalypse. The first horse, the horse of terror, of tyranny. The second horse, the horse of blood and of war. The third horse, the horse of poverty and famine. And the final horse, the horse, the pale horse, the horse of death. These are all portraits that are terrifying. And then we move into a seal that opens, and we see the martyrs who've been slain and the brave and courageous folks that are there. And then finally we get to the sixth seal, and a surprise happens. At the end of the sixth seal, as these terrors keep getting worse and worse and more frightening, then suddenly we hear a song. And that song becomes, just like in chapters 4 and 5, becomes the important teaching moment in the symphonic part. And here it is. As we get to that sixth seal that's opened, then suddenly a song breaks loose. Here it goes like this. And I looked, and there was a great multitude, and no one could count, from every nation, and all tribes and peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white. And they cried with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." This amazing song. And then again it's saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor to our God forever and ever." And then a very beautiful part of the song that makes a promise. And it says, "We worship him day and night within his temple. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." And that song is sung, that Jesus Christ is the shepherd. I wondered, why the terrifying parts then? Why not just sing the song? Why these four horses of the apocalypse? Why this section on the fact that there is terror? Because they're living in a time of terror. This book is written to people who are suffering. It's written to people who face Nero as the emperor after the fire of Rome in 64 AD. And this book is written before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. It's a very scary time. And the Christians are wondering how they're going to make it. And so this book is comforting in a way because it does bring up all these terrors. But the one thing that's interesting in all of the terrors of the first six seals that are opened before the seventh is that they're all boundaried. Even the four horses of the apocalypse are boundaried. They have power, but not ultimate power. There is a boundary. There's a limitation on all of the power that's frightening. And I think that's why. We need to face danger, but we need to know a greater truth than the danger. We know that all danger is boundaried by God. Then we come to seven trumpets. The second part of this first symphony, or the first symphonic movement, are the seven trumpets that blow. And they are also terribly frightening. We have a trumpet one, trumpet two, trumpet three, and all of them tell of, again, of horrors. In fact, in this section, we meet the devil, who is depicted as a star that falls into a bottomless pit. How do we understand that? We really can't understand it. We just stand there and look at it. And it's part of the imagery that is baffling and probably should not be overinterpreted. Just stand there. Because again, as these build, the trumpets build, finally we get to a point where it says in the fifth trumpet that three woes will come next. As if this wasn't bad enough to have all of these locust-like warriors that are fighting with trumpets. Now we have three woes, and we have a woe one, and then a woe two. But again, it's limited. There is a boundary. It's a third of the earth. It suffers. And then finally, we're ready for the third woe, and a surprise comes again. And just before the seventh trumpet, we have a surprise. We expect a woe, and instead, probably the most famous of all the songs in the book of Revelation is sung. And then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. We're expecting now the third woe. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah. And he will reign forever and ever. Amen." As you know, George Frideric Handel put that very line in the Hallelujah Chorus. And then the 24 elders who sat in the throne fell on their faces. They worshiped God, singing, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty," again, the great who was, who is, and who will be, who is the judge of all the earth. And then a very final scene in the seventh seal. Notice this, it build up towards seven, but the seven always belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord's grace, to his grace. And now, finally, then the Lord's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen. You know, the Ark of the Covenant is the covenant of promise. And it was covered with the blood of the Lamb, and it was the protection of God's people. And in it was the law, and all of the promises given to his people, symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. This almost looks like a scene out of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember the last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Ark of the Covenant was there and there was flashes of lightning? It's right out of the book of Revelation. And the God's temple in heaven was opened. The Ark of the Covenant was seen within the temple, and there were flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder and earthquake and heavenly and heavy hail. And that's the end of the seventh trumpet. Notice what we've got. We've got two sets of seven, and the danger is real, but it's boundary. And that's comforting to us. But the second fact is the most comforting of all. The dangers build with intensity from one to six, but then the seven always belongs to God's grace. And the seven is the boundary around all of these dangers. The seven brings up the chorale. And when the chorale is sung, it's totally clear. The imagery may be mysterious, but the songs are easy to understand. Where's the hope in all this? Why is this a book of hope? And a book of hope for us, just like it was at the midpoint of the first century. I like what Hans Lilje says. He was a German pastor, contemporary of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He also was put in a German concentration camp because of his being a part of the Confessing Church movement. But he came out alive. Bonhoeffer did not. And he wrote a commentary when he was in his concentration camp which I think is one of the finest commentaries on the book of Revelation. Hans Lilya's commentary, the last book of the Bible. Listen to what he says. The consolation which the book of Revelation proclaims is not based on the fact that it extols human heroism, though we met heroes in both of the trumpets and also the seals. We met heroes. But that's not the hope. Otherwise, the book would say, what you have to be is heroic. And if you're heroic like they were, then you can survive. That's not the consolation. But the consolation is that it proclaims the future victory, the real victory of Jesus Christ himself, his love, his faithfulness. And that's the message of the book of Revelation. Now, we do meet brave people, and we're grateful for them. But our hope is in the bravery of Jesus Christ, of his powerful love, of his faithfulness, the Jesus Christ who died in our behalf, who disarmed sin and death and the power of evil at the cross. He suffered too. And the fact that he suffered ahead of us is the hope of this book of Revelation, because he won. He won the victory for us. And therefore, we're in faithful hands when we're in his hands. We now, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, celebrate that fact. The Lord's Supper was given by our Lord on the night in which he was betrayed, just before the cross. He gave this supper to us so that we could remember what he was going to do and rejoice. That's what we call it, the Thanksgiving, the Eucharist, to give thanks that a victory is going to be won on Good Friday by Jesus Christ. And it has been won. And therefore we, the people of God, are privileged to celebrate it now. The Wheaton College Choir just sang a great Brahms aria to us from the book of Job. And they sang it in German. But the opening word of that aria was, why? Why? Job is asking the question, why? It's the great question of Job. Why? Why is there light when everything seems so dark? And that's really a wonderful song for this text we've just read. Why? All these dangers, and then this amazing breakthrough with the number seven. Seven belongs to God. The cease belongs to God. And then the song comes. Don't be afraid. Your life is in God's hands. And that answers the why. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text, that it prepares us for the Lord's Supper today. Bless us as we now pray and receive common bread and common wine, the signs and seals of our Lord's life given in our behalf. Now bless us as we receive it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.